Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I have big dreams for America's future. The question is not whether we can fulfill those dreams, it's whether we will. And here's our answer. Yes, we will.
Well, you know, she's been making this argument since the beginning of this contest. And if it was a particularly effective argument, then she'd have the delegate lead.
Well, it's not all uplifting rhetoric and ideas anymore. They're kind of getting sarcastic about each other, aren't they? But here are some ways to measure how close the Clinton-Obama race is now. According to NPR, if you don't count Florida or Michigan, Obama leads in total national popular vote. If you do count Florida and Michigan, Clinton leads in total national popular vote. In delegates, the New York Times today says if they split the remaining elected delegates 50-50, Clinton will need two-thirds of the superdelegates to prevail. But if she can win 60-40 in the remaining primaries and caucuses, then Obama would need more superdelegates to win. It's close. And it's all up to Pennsylvania on April 22nd now, right? Wrong. Wyoming votes this Saturday, Mississippi next Tuesday, then there's Guam on May 3rd, Indiana and North Carolina May 6th, West Virginia May 13th, Kentucky and Oregon May 20th, Montana and South Dakota on June 3rd, and superdelegates aside, the final sudden death overtime period would be decided by the people of Puerto Rico on June 7th, and si ellos pueden, they are U.S. citizens. Maureen Dowd's column in the New York Times yesterday observes that supporters of Clinton and Obama are beginning to harbor more hard feelings toward each other. It's not just, aren't we Democrats lucky to have two such great candidates anymore? So we'll talk to Maureen Dowd about that and take calls from Clinton and Obama supporters on how you can avoid turning that into a gift for John McCain. Hello, Maureen Dowd. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
Your column refers to exit polls that show fans of Hillary, who once said they would be happy with Obama if Hillary dropped out, are hardening in their opposition to him. Do you think these are certain kinds of Hillary supporters?
Well, I wrote yesterday about older women supporters of Hillary, who some younger women refer to as shoulder pad feminists, you know, the Gloria Steinem types, and the older women that have really swept her to victory every time when she seems to be kind of down and out and beset by the golden boy. And a lot of these women, even many women who support Obama, many women I work with, and identify strongly with certain slights she's been going through on the campaign, and they think of their own work life. And Obama, to them, represents the archetypal golden boy who sweeps in and gets the job you always wanted, or, you know, unfairly cuts, you know, corners. And so these women are getting very hardened in their feeling that Obama has treated her disrespectfully and is cocky and it's not his turn, and they don't want this magical moment for feminism to slip away.
If she herself feels that way, and especially having been the number two to Bill, then she would probably have a harder time being the number two on that fantasy ticket than maybe he would, do you think?
I would be shocked if that fantasy ticket ever happened, because...
Either way,
because she's absolutely furious that he is blocking her way. I mean, she'd have him on the ticket only if that was the only way she could get the top spot. But I'd be shocked if he would take it, because, you know, what he brings is this freshness and change, and I'm not the Clintons and the Bushes. And if he's on a ticket with her, that disappears. And as one of his advisors put it to me, that would be like a large corporation joining with a small corporation, which the metaphor doesn't make that much sense when you think the Clintons are so huge. But I think what he meant was in terms of the magic that he has.
You then say in your column that the poll shows Obama supporters are not so harsh about her as her supporters are becoming about him. But I wonder, don't you think if she gets the nomination, a lot of young voters brought in by their interest in Obama will stay home in November, not to mention a lot of African Americans who might feel like the establishment took one away from them again?
Yes, I think that's absolutely true. And as one of my colleagues said, she could, you know, somehow drag the nomination away from him, but she might only be left with, you know, 60-year-old women in the party. And but honestly, I don't think that the Clintons think about it like that. I don't mean this to sound harsh, but I don't think they think in terms of what's good for the Democratic Party. They didn't before. They were willing to subvert the party to themselves. Bill Clinton was always le parti, c'est moi. So I don't think that factors into their thinking.
Well, but Clinton supporters would argue that no, the opposite is true, that what Bill Clinton did originally in 1992 was to rescue the Democratic Party from its own excesses by, you know, running as the new Democrat and brought the Democrats back to power after 12 years in the Reagan-Bush wilderness.
Right. But then I think with the triangulating and the Monica, everything sort of got subverted to his own ego. That's my impression. And I think that, you know, they don't care about all of these new people who have been brought in. If they just want the nomination, that's what they're about.
Yeah. So in any case, one of the big challenges for the Democratic Party right now is to resolve this in some way that keeps all these primary voters psyched up rather than alienated.
I don't think they can do that unless it's Obama. They're not going to be psyched up for Hillary Clinton because she represents everything that has kept them home.
But you just reported on that poll that said even if it is Obama, there's going to be a whole contingent of Hillary supporters who are going to be alienated.
I think that they'll be alienated for a time, but I think that he could probably bring them around. Whereas I agree with you, I just think that many African Americans and young people who are excited by him won't come out for her.
There's a front page headline in the Times today, Lesson of Defeat, Obama
right.
Comes out punching.
Right.
But here's an email from a Clinton supporter that says, quote, "We now know that neither of them can win on primaries alone, and it begins to get ugly or not. I believe," she writes, "that the onus is on both of them to make this right, but perhaps a little bit more on Senator Obama. After all, he is running on change and consensus building and not being a traditional politician. Senator Clinton makes no such claims, and none of us, even her most ardent supporters, harbor any such illusions. I believe that Senator Obama needs to force the discussion that will lead to a negotiated settlement," unquote, from the listener. So she makes an interesting point that if he's running on a new politics, is it up to him in some way to do something different now, something that gives us evidence that he can offer a paradigm shift and not just words, not just a strategy for victory?
I don't understand. What would the negotiated settlement be?
I don't know.
I mean, in my fantasy world as a journalist, it all comes down to one superdelegate who is named Al Gore. And, you know, he, of course, will choose Obama because he thinks that the reason he's not president today is because of Hillary Clinton siphoning off money and attention from him when he was running. She started her Senate campaign. So, you know, we may be heading toward a fantastic Shakespearean triangle.
But let me explore this idea a little bit further of an onus on Obama at a moment of political tension to show that there's something behind his words about a new kind of unity politics. If there are no red states, no blue states in Obama's vision, well, then maybe there's something different, you know, when there's even a Clinton Democratic Party and an Obama Democratic Party, and that he needs to campaign in a new kind of way, don't ask me what that is, to give evidence that there's something behind those words.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I've covered 7 presidential campaigns, and I watched the, you know, 2000 stalemate in Florida, and I think in the end it all comes down to winning and losing. I don't think he needs to be more conciliatory now and negotiate. I think he needs to understand that she will bite his ear off. I mean, that has been his problem from the beginning. He sort of is a little bit in the clutch. He gets a little bit cautious and has played rope-a-dope with her. And unless he can sort of summon the fortitude to kind of come at her and win this thing, then it will just be a big mess at the convention, which, of course, is reporters' fondest dreams because they never thought they'd see a brokered convention in their lifetime.
Does that also echo the Bill Clinton campaign in 1992? Because wasn't part of that that, hey, the Republicans have been biting our ears off from a Democratic perspective for all these years with their Lee Atwater, Willie Horton attacks and their massive corporate fundraising. And the Clinton game plan was, we're going to do the same thing because winning is what matters.
Right. Well, not, I think Obama has not, he's sort of tangled up. Part of him is like Adlai Stevenson on a pedestal. He keeps getting tangled up with the pedestal. And, you know, then he's dealing with someone who's more of the whatever it takes school. But that's the irony of them, of Hillary criticizing him so fiercely about, you know, he didn't praise Reagan's policies, but talking about how Reagan was a transformational figure, because in many ways Clinton did try and imitate Reagan and took a lot of ideas from the Republicans when he was running the second time especially.
Maureen Dowd, New York Times columnist, my guest for another few minutes on WNYC, and then we'll take your phone calls on some of these themes. We'll put some of you Clinton supporters, some of you Obama supporters on together to answer the question, how can this end without turning the other supporters off for November? And I would give the phone number, except our lines are already full. So I think there are some strong feelings out there about this. Anyway, for future reference, it's 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. The actual title of your column yesterday is Duel of Historical Guilts. But how much is it really that? Haven't we seen this be mostly a duel of two powerful individuals saying that they don't represent their groups?
Well, I think Obama has tried to transcend race, but also sometimes, as in South Carolina, you know, when appropriate, I would say he's tried to use it. For instance, in Iowa, he would meet in black churches. There's only about five black people in Iowa, but Hillary has played the gender card, I think. And, you know, it's hard for a lot of women to think that the first woman president would get there by playing the victim. But now her new strategy is to play the victim and the victimizer, as Roger Simon put it, or the bully and the victim, kind of alternating, like banging him with the 3 a.m. ad, but then also saying, well, woe is me. I'm not being treated fairly because I'm a woman. They asked me the first question. You know, they're hard on me. So it's a dual strategy.
Well,
because she knows she always seems more appealing when she's less in control, when she's less, you know, on top and arrogant, when she seems to be humiliated by a man, as she was with Bill and now with Obama, then people rush, women especially rush to vote for her.
Well, you mentioned the accusations of bias. Where are you, Maureen, on the sort of Saturday Night Live media bias question? I got some mail this morning from people knowing you're coming on saying you have certainly been harder on Hillary than on Barack.
Well, I've covered her for 20 years, so I guess, you know, I come to her with a history, but I don't see, my column is not left or right, so I don't really, people always, the question I'm most asked is, you know, I like Barack supporter Craig Gregg, I ran into him somewhere and he said, why do you hate Barack? And I, you know, or Hillary people would say, why didn't you like Hillary? I don't think of politicians in terms of like or hate. I just try to write, you know, whether they are abusing power or whether they're doing well in a campaign on a certain week or not, or whether they're being hypocrites. I don't, you know, I don't root for one over the other. And on the press bias thing, you know, I agree that the press should be tougher on both of them. I don't think Hillary, you know, Hillary has not released her tax returns, and, you know, they haven't released the records of the Clinton Library. And I wrote about Resco with Obama several times in the last year, and I, you know, I think it's good to look into that too. And the press sometimes, when they're in a, you know, cocoon like that, can get sleepy, as they did with Bush in the lead up to the war, and not push as hard. So I'm always in favor of the press pushing harder. But I think in the case of Obama, most of the gushing I saw was from Republican columnists, you know, at the Times, which is funny because you see people like George Will and Bill Kristol and David Brooks who were gushing over Obama.
Well, we will leave it there. with Maureen Dowd, New York Times columnist. Her article, her column yesterday in the Times, Duel of Historical Guilts. Maureen, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And listeners, now that we've heard from Maureen Dowd, let's hear from you. Clinton supporters and Obama supporters will take your calls, put you on together. So if you're holding on already and not willing to talk in a group, hang up and let some other people in to answer the question, how does this end without turning the other supporters off for November? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692.
Senator Clinton, that's a clear swipe at you.
Really?
I wouldn't
we're
call
having,
it a swipe.
We're having such a good time. We are. We're having a wonderful time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I am so...
There they go again. Can you have a wonderful time while talking to each other about this race and not giving a gift to John McCain during this endgame? By the way, WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein and I have made a historic decision. We've decided to extend our weekly podcast, Digesting Politics, which was supposed to end on Super Tuesday. We will now continue digesting politics until the Democrats have a nominee. Thought you'd like to know. Digesting Politics is a web-only feature that you won't hear on the radio. We'll be recording a new one this afternoon. Sign up for the Digesting Politics podcast for free at WNYC.org. Now, let's see if we can do this. Jerry in Long Beach, Margaret in Poughkeepsie, David in Harlem, and Gene in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Jerry, do we have you?
Yes, I'm here.
Margaret?
Yes, I'm here.
David?
Hello, I'm here.
Hi, Gene.
Hi, I'm here.
All right, so you guys talk to each other. Here's the question on the table. How does this end without turning the other supporters off for November? Gene, want to start?
Well, I'll start. I think that I don't care for Hillary Clinton. I do support Obama. I am turned off by her sense of entitlement. I don't think she ever expected to have a Democrat rival who would give her this kind of a run for her money. But I have there is no question that if indeed she becomes the nominee, I will vote for her. Notwithstanding my long-term dislike of her on various, you know, levels, but I will certainly vote for her if she is the nominee.
Jerry in Long Beach, come on in.
Well, I'm a Clinton supporter. I wasn't so happy with her husband and some of the things he did, but I think it's time in this country that a woman be given an opportunity to try to run the government. If Mr. Obama is claiming, or his supporters are claiming, that he's running a non-racial contest, then basically this is coming down to do you want another man to be president of the United States, or do you want to give women a chance to try it?
Why do you see it as giving women a chance rather than Hillary as an individual?
Because basically we have never come to the point where a woman has been accepted as a credible candidate. I mean, we did have Shirley Chisholm back in the 70s, and that was quite courageous on her part. But we stand at the precipice now of having a woman being given an opportunity to run this country.
Margaret in Poughkeepsie, come on in.
I am an over 60-year-old Obama supporter, and I am not sure where I am with Hillary, because as an African-American woman, I feel very disenfranchised. And a gentleman say he wants it non-racial. I think every time people want to be colorblind, they tend to find a way to be very racist and smile nice and say, but I'm on your side. I live in New York State, voted for Hillary in two elections. If she runs again, I don't know. I'm trying not to be bitter, because I am hurt. And I don't. And as far as a woman being president, it sounds like this is the old 1864 whether black men should vote versus a white women, as far as I'm concerned, as a former history teacher.
David in Harlem, come on in.
Unreal. Wow. Well, first of all, yeah, I'm a Hillary Clinton supporter. Black male, 48 years old, living in Harlem, real estate broker, as I've explained to you before. And I would not vote for Barack Obama if you paid me.
Even if he gets the nomination, what would you do?
John McCain, and look, I'm an American, I'm a patriot, all right? And I understand that we're voting for commander-in-chief, not head preacher. So there's absolutely no way in the world I'm going to vote for this lightweight 46-year-old guy who's as old as me, who knows nothing and has done a little bit of a great work for a small group of people in Illinois. I'm just not doing that. And if you ask any black male my age, I mean real black people, not the sedity ones like Obama, all right?
Uh-oh.
If you ask any real black
I'm a real black one, and I work with black people in New York, and we are real. I don't know what mirror you look in, but I'm real, and I'm very black.
Well, to respect black male. Okay, not swooning women. If you look at any black male my age or older who has a job, they are totally against Obama. And here in New York, where I am, my cousins in South Carolina, North Carolina, believe me, they've all heard the preacher boy nonsense before.
But wait, David, 80% of African Americans around the country are voting for Obama in these primaries. So,
and the number of how many black males are 45 years old and older with jobs, and you'll see the other 20%. Okay, the society hasn't already kicked its curb.
Who else wants to get in?
Brian, Jean. Can I say something? Is this Jean?
Yeah.
I really think that if we, this group of people that you've called together here on the phone, are really as concerned as I suspect we are about the state of the nation and what has been brought to by the Bush administration over these last several years, I think it really behooves us to overcome our emotionalism and attitudes about the candidates personally and really vote for whoever the Democratic candidate
is. I would like to throw in who the vice presidential candidate might be, because that might be one of the things that persuade me to get off the middle, because now I'm an independent as far as this election is concerned.
So Margaret, just as David might vote for McCain if Clinton is not the nominee, you might vote for McCain if Obama is not the nominee?
No, I wouldn't. I will not vote for McCain.
You might stay home?
I will not vote for McCain. I do not believe in the war. I have a nephew who is having serious problems, and he's being forced to go back to Iraq. No, I will not vote for somebody who supports this
so
war.
When you say independent, what does that mean in terms of your choice?
Independent means that I will sit and I'll make a decision based on, the woman said emotional, voting is emotional, trust me. But I feel that while I see what George Bush has done, I don't think she'd be any different. I think when she get in there, she will do anything and everything she can to survive. And what is the position of the ex-president? What is his position here? And if she gets a vice president, who are going to be the task in that White House? So I think we have to look past, oh, we just want a woman in there. And I have experiences with lots of women working in politics in upstate New York, and we won't go into that right now.
Jerry
but,
and Long.
I would say that what will make me go over is who the vice presidential candidate is.
Uh-huh. Jerry, come on back in.
Yes. Brian, you know, I discussed this with my wife at length, particularly the issue of if Hillary Clinton doesn't make it and Obama was nominated. And to be honest with you, I feel the same as the gentleman from Harlem. But the thing that came into the play this past week or so that is probably going to make me vote for Mr. Obama is the fact that Ralph Nader is running for office again. I cannot see allowing another Republican in the White House. That's the bottom line to me. But I would say this. I think if Mr. Obama is successful in the nomination and is successful in the election, the people that are going to be disappointed the most are the most vociferous supporters of his, especially the young, because Mr. Obama is going to have to deal with 71 congressional committee chairmen, and they're going to have a lot to say about what goes on in this country, as they always have, because of the type of government we have. So I can see this new wave of excited voters being either disappointed one of two ways. Number one, if their man doesn't get the nomination, a lot of them will walk away from it. And number two, if he does get the nomination and is successful, they will be severely disappointed at how much this man or any person could accomplish as president of the United States.
I'm going to leave it.
I think that could also set for Hillary Clinton.
I'm going to leave it there with you guys.
She has some issues. She may have been vetted, as they call it, but a lot of the stuff she is not. She does not believe in transparency. Why is it that she has not released these reports?
Supporters of Hillary Clinton are traditional Democratic voters.
How about the supporters of women? How about the supporters of women in the world? We all have women for mothers.
Right, and but the Democrats are the ones.
And I'm a mother and a grandmother, and I don't support her, but then I don't count.
All right, I'm going to leave it there with you guys. Thank you so much for engaging with each other. You've been great, and we're going to clear these lines for another peer-to-peer group as we continue to have the conversation around the question, how can this end without turning the other supporters off for November, 212-433-9692. And while we're gathering a few more of you up, Margaret and Poughkeepsie mentioned the history of the 19th century, and there happens to be an article in this week's issue of The Nation that references that. It's called A Letter from Feminists on the Election, and I'll read just a little bit of this. It says, we did not want to see, it's about a group of feminists who got together and kind of asked themselves this question that we've been asking, or a related question. And it says, we did not want to see a repeat of the ugly history of the 19th century, when the failure of the women's movement to bring about universal adult suffrage metastasized into racial resentment and a rift that weakened feminism throughout much of the 20th century. How, we wondered, did a historic breakthrough moment for which we have all longed and worked hard suddenly risk becoming marred by having to choose between race cards and gender cards, by petty competitiveness about who endures more slings and arrows, by media depictions of white women as the sole inheritors of the feminist movement and black men as the sole beneficiaries of the civil rights movement, by renderings of black women as having to split themselves right down the center with Solomon's sword in order to vote for either candidate. And it goes on, in the confusion of this triumphalist but precarious moment, therefore, it is important that the alliance between a now global feminism and a now global civil rights movement not be turned against itself and ultimately defeated. Obama and Clinton, each a complexly archetypal role model, represents at their best a new kind of American possibility. If we could get over our fixation on a fantasy that many of us hope to see realized in our lifetimes, maybe we could finally turn to the issues that each of them brings to the table. So just thought you might like to hear a little bit of that. And we've got a few minutes for another group. So let's try Richard in Manhattan, Ochuco in Jersey City, Bouyar in Queens,
go ahead,
and
Marie.
Paula in Manhattan. Richard, do we have you?
Yes, I'm here.
Ochuco, did I say your name right?
Yes, Ochuco.
And Bouyar, did I say your name right?
Yes, sir.
And Paula,
yes.
You there? Okay. Bouyar, jump in.
Yes. Well, we saw a few days ago that Barack Obama is not ready for high-time politics, because when he got his feet on his fire, he made so many mistakes that then we cannot allow him to run such a big country as the United States until he gets a few more years of experience and he gets experience enough. And plus also that we forget that we are in politics. And if he is really committed to this gentlemanship and all these new ideas, then he should say, ladies first, okay, it's Hillary's time and I'm young. 4 years, 8 years from now, everybody will go after him and he will make history again.
Ochuco, come on in.
Okay, I cut into what this guy just said. He said Obama has made a lot of mistakes. Talking about mistakes, Hillary made a lot of mistakes too when she voted for the war, and that's what Obama has been campaigning about. And actually, Obama, if he makes mistakes, for you to be a strong president, he will admit his mistakes. But Hillary never admitted her mistakes until when they asked her in the last debate in Ohio if she could take back any vote, what vote she would take back. and she said the vote of us going to the war. If you say let's give a woman a chance, well, every other woman should just go down and start running and try to run for the president.
Bouyari wanted to respond.
Yes, sir. I look, Obama campaign is holding this one mistake, and she did make a mistake. But in politics, you're allowed to make mistakes. What do you think? Obama didn't make mistakes.
One more thing, please.
Obama's wife said something very unpatriotic about the United States.
Hang on, let me back both of you off a little bit and get back to the question, which is, how does this end without turning the other supporters off for November? We hear the heat between you two, and it's representative of the tone of the discussion that's evolving out in the country.
Richard, can I jump in?
Let me, since these two have been going at it a little bit, let me each let them get a shot. Bouyari, one more time on that.
This time, it's proven that Clinton can win any Republican candidate that comes out. This time, the Clintons are attacked from the left. From people who are unhappy, wait a second. From people who are unhappy about the Clintons, about success. Clintons represent success. We saw last few months, media, everybody, more than half of the Democratic establishment.
So your solution is just swallow it. Swallow your pride, Obama supporters, if she's the nominee. Oh, Chuko, does that work for you?
Well, of course, I'm a true Democrat. Democrat, and what I'll do if and only I say if. I doubt if she's going to win, but if she becomes the nominee, I'll vote for her because I don't want any other Republican to be president.
Unfortunately, our time is going to go by here. Paula and Richard, why don't you two jump in?
So this is Richard. Quickly, Hillary supporter, African-American. Days are a lifetime in politics, and in the months between now and the general are truly a lifetime. Either candidate, the one who loses, I'm presuming, is going to come out and fully publicly support and campaign for the other. That'll go a tremendous way in fixing the rift between the two camps.
Paula, would that work for you?
No. And I'm a woman. I'm a Barack Obama supporter.
Can I jump in,
Brian? Hang on one sec.
What bothers me as a woman
finish
is
up with
every
the two of you.
Down, mm-hmm. Whenever she sees herself going down in the poll, then she starts playing the helpless feminine role, and that bothers me to no end.
I'm an African American
so
man.
That I will not. I would rather sit home during the general election if she wins.
Well, I'm an African American male, and how you can consider 82% voting reliably as being anything but reflexive. The support of African American community for their historic candidate, and not be troubled by that as being either saying something about this country and where it is on gender, or saying something about where African American community is in terms of being able to assess who's been supportive of them in the history in their past national issues.
So Paula, I'm going to give you the last.
We have never ever gotten an opportunity to have representatives.
So, Paula, is there a way that this could end? Is there a way, and then we're going to be out of time for today, but is there a way, if Clinton does get the nomination, for it to end in such a way that it does bring you back into the fold rather than staying home in November?
The only way I will vote for her is if, going forward, she stops slinging mud, debate on the issues, stop playing up her gender card, and stick to being a strong woman. That's what I attracted to me her before Barack came in the race. And if she goes back to doing that and forget about this sense of entitlement that she thinks she has, run on the issues, stop playing up the feminist card, then I might think about it.
All right. Paula and Richard and Ochuco and Bouyari, thank you all very much. And all eight of you who in this segment took part in some peer-to-peer democracy here on The Brian Lehrer Show. Much more of that to come during this election season. Coming up in a minute, we begin a month-long series with technology and society guru Douglas Rushkoff He'll argue that in a way, the internet is already over. Stay with us.